So we have some income from our gate. Where the auxiliary field gate is equal to beta alpha beta, so 1, 0, 0, -1. So there it's very easy to write an action because the fields that describe the embedding of the string in space time are nothing else than about bosons, free bosons, and then what we're going to do is to add about the fermions, determinants, and dominants. So these, the fields x mu, are 2D scalars layered by the spinner's field, and then we are going to add 2D spinners psi of spinners layered by the same index field. Alright, then we discuss the equations of motion in conformalized gauge. Both were physically derived simply by considering variations with respect to fields. So G plus G minus X mu is equal to 0, and G plus psi minus mu is equal to G minus psi plus is equal to 0. So both were easy to obtain. Now, these have to be supplemented by equations that I did not really derive. The one of the energy number factor, that is the equation of motion for the, so in order to derive the additional equations of motion that we need, we would have to have an action that before we take the conformal gauge, and the one that involves H, and then we would have to have a theory with local supersymmetry, but we didn't discuss that. So in addition to these equations of motion, there is the vanishing of the energy momentum chamber. That's equal to 0. That would arise from the vanishing of the variation of the action with respect to H alpha beta. So that would be equal to 0. And then if we have such a theory, a two-dimensional theory with formulated with H, not in conformal gauge, but still with this field on the vortex, then that would be corresponding to this hydraulic schema, and the equation of motion would be the vanishing of the spot current, so Q1 Ps by the Ki is equal to 0. Now, these are the equations of motion we have to consider. Now, in order to make the action stationary, we also have to impose boundary conditions. So, action delta S will be equal to 0. So, for that, we have to impose boundary conditions. We saw that delta S is action. So we consider variations of all the fields. So let's say phi denotes the fields x and also the fermions, and delta s has to be equal to 0. And the variation of the action, so there is one boundary term. It works like this, minus same thing. So psi plus psi minus are the two components of psi, minus psi minus delta psi minus, sigma is equal to 0. And then we saw that there are two ways of making this boundary term vanish. So to consider open strings, so we have two ends, and at each end we can say psi plus mu is equal to plus minus psi minus, or at each end, at sigma is equal to 0, or sigma is equal to pi. We saw that the overall sign of of the spinner is not relevant, so we choose one of the signs at one end that is conventionally the n sigma is equal to 0, so we choose it to be a plus sign. Sigma is equal to 0. Now, so this one is a matter of convention, but the sign at the other end is important. So again, then at sigma is equal to pi, there are two signs, and these are a little different, to a different spectrum. Maybe we can have a plus sign up here, and so this is at sigma equal to pi. This is for the Raman boundary conditions. So divided by R stands for Raman, and or we can take a minus sign. So that's what we call it, never towards boundary conditions. Now, and we saw that field satisfying Raman and the Schwarz boundary conditions have different mode expansions. So in the Raman sector, so for field satisfying Raman boundary conditions, we will talk about oscillators that are labeled by an integer n, so n is going to be an integer, and the coefficient in the mode expansion will be denoted by d, minus I n tau minus sigma. Class. So it would have the same coefficients d equal minus I m kappa sigma. And then in the Lever Schwarz sector, that would be from 1. In the Lever Schwarz sector, the modes are going to be called p. And these are labeled by half integer labels. So R, each time I write R, this is going to be half integer. So again, the same coefficients e to the I, x minus I, R, R. Now, so it's a tiny difference. It's a sign over here, right in the boundary. And so over here is a plus sign, and over here is a minus sign. And there's you have seen when discussing the bosonic string, at some point we are going to take some of these models here that are going to have creation operators to create states. And we are going to see that even though this is just a tiny difference, it's a sign difference, the properties of the state that arrives are going to be completely different. So, now, so these expansions we discussed last time. Now there's another way of, this was one expansion for all the strings. Now there's another way of making this boundary permanent. Now what we have just done is to cancel this fellow up here, right, against this one, like these up here, right, so this one against this one, or this one against that one. But we can also, for example, cancel this one against that one. So that would be a closure. So, the action would be stationary. In this case, we have, so it depends, plus two side plus here. So it's again a plus sign. So in this case, we are going to impose the boundary condition. Plus minus. And we are going to take over this this labeling here from all strings. We are going to call the plus boundary, so the plus sign over here, so the periodic boundary. The periodic boundary conditions, we are going for Raman boundary conditions. So this is here. So that's the Raman boundary conditions. And the anti-periodic sign is going to be called, of course. Let me run up explicitly. This is the plus sign here. the curve is the one buffer, which is empty, which is a minus one. That's not a plus buffer. So in this case, we have that was a remember when discussing the bosonic string, we had laws that were called bipolar. So for all strings, there's only one type of mod, right? So the equal. For dual strings, there are two types. So gluing left movers and right movers together gives perfect. So you have superstring action and you have fields, psi, and you say that you want to impose boundary conditions like this. So for both of them, you are going to choose a plus sign, for example. Then we will talk about their answer. So because both of them will satisfy the boundary conditions with a plus sign. So the perfect choice is plus, minus. So the all of three sectors are NS, so we would have two minus signs, NS come on, and come on. And again, I'm going to use, I don't want to write all small expansions out again. If I talk about something that has a plus sign here, then the mods are going to be called these. If we talk about something with a minus sign, they would be called these. Alright.
Is that, that bottom left equation, is that psi minus equals plus psi plus?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Yeah. That's 20 miles and plus minus. So the next thing we want to do is to construct a spectrum. So we want to do that using quantum factorization. All right, and so what I'm going to do the following is simply talk about the Orton string, and then at the end when I want to construct the spectrum of the closed string, so I'm going to do that again, because it's simply a gluing of leftmost and right movers together, but we first have to get started with the construction of the spectrum of the Orton string. So we're going to stick to this piece. All right. So, you discussed this canonical quantization for bosonic strings last week. Now, so the bottom line is that for bosonic strings, the coefficients in this Fourier expansion, so they become operators in the quantum theory, and they satisfy commutation relations like this, alpha and mu. Oscillators, there's an identical story, except that one must be careful that now we are anti-commuting objects. Now, so the Fermionic oscillators are going to satisfy something that is very similar, but since we are talking about Grassmann objects, they satisfy anti-commutation relations. So for Fermionic, for the modes, for the modes, of the spinners. There's a similar story at the same spot and the commutator related. So in both sectors, in the electronic sector, RS C plus 1/2 and MM C. Maybe this would be a good topic to discuss for 10 minute tutorials as well. So you have seen this one for the bosonic string, so maybe the derivation of this would be for the permanent string, maybe that would be a good topic that would be to discuss. All right, so it's basically the same computational relations, except that now we use an computer. All right, now a little bit how the construction of the spectrum works for the bosonic string. So just let's go back to the situation where we only have this alpha oscillator. Again, this should have been discussed last week. So what this commutational relation is telling us is that there is so the alpha minus n, so the object with a negative integer, so when n is positive. So these are going to be creation operators. So creation operators. And alpha n mu, again for n positive. So this would be the annihilation operators. Annihilation operators. And there is one state that would be the Brown state that is annihilated by all the positive modes of objects. So n positive. That's the Brown spin. So it basically, I mean, this algebra here looks like the a bunch of harmonic oscillators, right? Except for a few differences. There's an eta here, you have to be careful with minus sign when this is 0, 0. But most of the time, this is a bunch of harmonic oscillators, and the construction of the spectrum does work exactly the same way. There is one state that is annihilated by all the annihilation operators of the ground state. And then what they're going to do is to construct the spectrum by acting with the creation operators. So alpha minus n1, let's say mu1, alpha minus n2, and so on. So and those, so these are the sets. Right, exactly the same way as one would construct the spectrum of the harmonic oscillator, except that now we have a bunch of them. Good. So we are still talking about the bosonic string. Now the way to compute the mass for the excited states would be if you use the relativistic relation between mass and momentum. And then one uses the L0 constraint, right? So that in a quantum theory, L0 minus A, so A is a normal ordering constant. Would annihilate. So that's equal to 0. Now, on L0, as you recall, was given by 1/2 alpha 0 squared plus alpha n, right? And that's p squared. Now, so this means that m squared is equal to the momentum squared, but the momentum squared square is up to a constant, and at this moment we don't really worry too much about the constant. So p square is up to an additive constant given by this step over here. So this means the mass square is equal to 1 divided by alpha prime. Alpha minus n dot alpha n plus constant. Okay. So again, so this is irrelevant for the discussion. Now, so we can of course now repeat the same story for our fermionic string. So it's going to be the same derivation, except that A0, so it looks like this. But there's, so there's the stuff here containing the alpha oscillators, but now there's the contribution from the fermions, if you recall. So, the contribution from the fermions looks like this. So there is two bosons. So this is partly derived when we're discussing the bosonic string. But then there's this additional contribution here from the fermions. Okay. Now, so this is again something that you're going to derive in more detail in the tutorials, namely to see how L0, how the fermions contribute to L0. So I'm just going to claim the result over here. Now, so the claim is that for the superstring, the mass square is equal to, let me call this operator actually in alpha, is equal to n alpha, which is the contribution from the alpha oscillators, contribution from the d oscillators, plus again a constant, but at this moment it's not important, in the Ramon sector, so we have the d oscillators. And another chart sector were after the time sockets. So in alpha is the time over here. And by a similar computation, NG is again, so sometimes I don't write out the indices on the alpha, so I simply write a dot product, so assume that it's contracted over this space-time index. And B again, it's a neat small computation to take the energy momentum tensor with the fermion contribution. Carry in the mod expansion for the fields and then determine the correct zero point from the fermions. Again, so that's something that, so the small computation will be done in the tutorial in more detail. Now, so why are we talking about this? We are talking about this because I want to construct a spectrum, right? And I just derived the mass curve. Now, the first state, in the spectrum is going to be the ground space, right? So, and it will turn up, but depending on the boundary conditions, the ground state has different properties, whether we are in the little Schwarz or in the Raman sector. Maybe a bit more visually. So mass four is 1 divided by alpha prime, n alpha plus n. So it's going to be b oscillators, depending on the sector. Plus, again, a normal ordering constant, but at this moment it's not confirmed. Now, and actually, there's something else I need, namely over here. The lowest value of m squared, so lowest value of m squared. So it's going to be the object that is annihilated by all, so the sum goes from 1 to infinity, right? So it's going to be annihilated by all positive modes. So there will be, and depending on the boundary conditions, we will have two ground states. So one in the Raman sector. This is going to be annihilated by all forms like this, and in the middle ground sector. So the eigenvalues of this state of this operator is positive. This means that the state of the lowest eigenvalue is going to be the one that is annihilated by the state. So,
yeah, why should the ground state be the one with the lowest energy?
Well, it's
not
the
energy.
So we are okay. We are constructing a spectrum, and we have the, so and the states have masses, right? So we work with eigenvalues of the mass operators, and quantum theory are operators, and we construct the spectrum by saying we have our lowest time state, the one with the lowest value of m-score, and we add with the Rayleigh operators, like we first of the, when we talk about the harmonic oscillator, right?
Yeah, so, but when we talk about the harmonic oscillator, it's the energy seems to be defined by mass.
Yeah, here we're about the mass. Now, it turns out that depending on the boundary conditions, this ground states are somehow very different properties. So it turns out that and have very different properties. So the ground spec, the ground spec. Ground spec in NS sector is unique. Right, it turns out that there is no operator B with whatever index there is that commutes with N B. So there is no operator B, let's say BR, which commutes with N B. Right? So this means that we are only going to have one single state. So the ground, so 0 and S, is only is one state, and this corresponds to spin 0. So we are going to act on this with creating operators that have an index like this, index mu. So the spectrum is constructed by acting with operators, let's say alpha minus n mu, so it carries an index mu. This is a space-time vector. Or for example, b minus r mu, so where properties are positive. So these are space-time vectors. These are vectors, right? So it has this index mu. So this means that if we have the ground state that is between 0 and act with it with this object that has a vector index, it's like adding spin 0 and spin 1, right? So or spin. So you're always going to get something with integer spin. So that is what is a state with integers. So from here we conclude that in the NS sector, states are space time modes. So it all depends on the properties of the vacuum. So because we start with something that is spin 0, and it's when we add with the random operators, it's like taking the tensor product of something that is spin 1 and spin 0. So no matter how many tensor products we take, we will always get something with integer spin. Let's talk about coupling of angular momentum and time frequency, right? So if you add something like spin 1 and spin 2 or spin 0 and spin 1, you always get something with integer spin. Now, what happened? Yes.
So it's really important that the vacuum has spin 0.
Right. Right.
So can you explain a little better why that is?
Okay. So all the states, so it will, okay. So the point is that, so the states in the spectrum are constructed from, so there's a ground state and we act with B's, right? So, right? So there would be, for example, two states if I can find an operator B that acts on this. But so that it doesn't change the value of NB.
Right, okay.
But it doesn't work. Right? So there's nothing. So there is then this operator B, let's say for example BR, right? And this operator would exist, would have to commute with this. Like there is no, so if you look at the indices here, right? So we are summing over from R equal to 1/2 to infinity. So no matter which operator I write down, so B minus 7/2, for example, right? Whatever. Okay? So it will always, at some point, so these two indices have to sum to zero. So either it hits this one, and it doesn't really go down. So there's always an operator where we will have something that is non-binding on the right-hand side, and then we have, so then it doesn't come in. So there's nothing that really moves the work. Now, what happens in the Riemann sector?
So we went to the struggle to build a fermion in our theory, and then so if we choose these boundary conditions, then we don't. So
well, actually, it turns out to be the case that things are not that simple, and this is one of the biggest disadvantages of this approach. You cannot simply say, well, you take your superstring, you have your fit X, you have your fit psi, and then you choose one set of boundary conditions. Then you say, for example, say, no Schwarz boundary conditions. That's actually inconsistent. As we are going to see, you have to take all boundary conditions into account. And even if you do that, you will have by hand to just dump these things. Just simply say that. So things are not so. Just be a little bit patient. So we have to. So this is one of the biggest disadvantages of this approach. And the theory. Okay, let me maybe say this. So if you simply say you take one out of boundary conditions, it would not be a modular invariant, a finite. So you would have a big inconsistency in your theory. So maybe a little bit to mention this. So yeah, what we are going to do is we are going to impose boundary conditions. And we have to take all the states into account. So we do not take just a theory with one type of boundary conditions, but we have to take all of them into account. And these are what are called the sectors. Okay. So. What happens to the grounds in the Raman sector?
Not me.
Exactly, it's not me. Why?
Well, over here, again, so I just cooked up an example here. V minus 7.5. So no matter what I choose for this index here, there's always going to be one of these objects, and this is going to. So when I compute the commutator of this, I will have a non-binding contribution on the right hand side. So it's all going to commute. Ha! But if I look at this one over here, things are much brighter because there's an end here. Right? So if I, for example, choose this to be V with an index 0, right? So then it hits 0 over here, and then I suddenly find something that commutes with any V. So here's the claim. So, 0 over here is a general. Because NV commutes with a zero. So that's equal to zero. Right? Now, in this situation, what we could say is, well, we are working with eigenstates of NV, right? So we are working with the eigenstates of the mass operator. And then we say, oh, so suddenly we find a bunch of operators that commute with NV. So we may be tempted to simply say, let's diagonalize it, right? So that's something that we can try. So tempted to simply say, well, so we have the state that we call the ground state, and we got some kind of eigenstate, and since all the zeros commute, we simply say, oh, we can diagonalize this as well. But that's not really work. Somebody understands why? does not work. So we, of course, cannot diagonalize everything because the D0s, right? So if we look at this, the D0s, so they satisfy anti-commutation relations, so they actually do not commute. So D0s do not commute. D0 mu do not commute. Now, so if we look at the anti-commutation relations here, the objects with the zero satisfy actually something that anti-commutation relations that we have seen before. E0 mu is equal to a Hermitian. Does this sound familiar? Right, you're right, algebra. Right. Subcompact of 2, depending on the dimensions. So this looks like this. Which is important kind of stuff. Right, so now we cannot diagonalize all the D0s at the same time. So in this case, the best we can do is to work with irreducible representations of this algebra. Well, but this is nothing else than like the Dirac algebra. So we need representations of this. And the representations of this are spinors. Right? And the good thing is these are Dirac matrices in space-time. Right? So we cannot diagonalize. We cannot diagonalize all E0 mu's, but we can go to, so the best we can do is to work with irreducible representations of this object, of star, which means that we have some states. And the matrices here, what they're going to do is to reshuffle the states among each other. And we do this in an irreducible way. Well, but irreducible representations of this are space and spinors, right? So this is space. This is space and spinors. So this means that the sets in the Ramon sector are going to be spinors, and again, so we are going to have something like spin 1/2, and then we are going to act on it with space-time vectors. So we are going to cover some angular momentum like spin 1/2 tensor product with spin 1, or spin 1/2 tensor product with spin 2, and so on. So we are always going to get stuck on top of the question. So this means all the states in the Ramon sector are going to be pheromones in space. All the states in the Ramon sector are pheromones in space. While all states in the number short sector are boosts. Well, we seem to be making progress here. At least we have some pheromones in our spectrum. Okay, we want to construct the spectrum. That is very important. So, Now we are going to determine the spectrum. Question? All right. Now, so we are going to determine the spectrum and the light coverage. And here's the thing. As for the bosonic spring, so the star is completely identical, the bosonic coordinate is chosen like this. Now, so we have enough symmetry in the theory to make this choice. So we have to confirm our symmetry that allows us to do this choice. Now, this is important, this choice, because it eliminates all of the alpha n plus oscillators. So usually, if we have a fit like this, we have all this infinite expansion with all this alpha in there, right? But in this case, so there is no expansion. So alpha n plus, they're all equal to zero. And alpha n minus, so they are all determined in terms of the other oscillators. So let's say we are talking about the bosonic string. In that case, I would be equal to 1 to 24. Now, this was important because, as you should remember from discussing the bosonic string, if the oscillators have a zero in the sphere, then the negative norm states, right? So we don't really want to act with any oscillator with a zero up here on the vacuum, because this would give us a negative norm state. So this is why it's important to decouple this. So the way to construct the spectrum is to have zero and then only after the transverse mode like this. So we're talking about the bosonic string. Now it turns out that in the present case, that again I'm not going to show the derivation. It's possible to choose for the fermionic modes exactly the same conditions, namely all of the oscillators corresponding to this coordinate plus are equal to zero for all n, except when n is not equal to zero, because then it's a Gamma matrix, and Pr is equal to zero for all r. So I'm going to call this without proof. This means, so what I want to do is to construct the spectrum by acting with all the oscillators, but with indices only in the transverse space. So in this case, we are talking about the superstring, and I is not going to go from 1 to 24, but from 1 to 8. So the spectrum is constructed by acting only with transverse. So in this case, R is going to go from 1 to 8. Now, you should have derived that the critical dimension of the bosonic string is 26, right? For the superstring, it's 10. That's something that is going to be discussed in more detail in the tutorial. So there are three numbers that I'm not going to derive. And again, Karen is hopefully going to discuss that. One of them is that the critical dimension is 10. And that the transverse mode, so we take two of the coordinates out, and transverse modes, so the index will take values from that point. Now, so that's the first number that I'm not going to derive. Let's construct the states in the Lindemann-Schwarz sector. As we have seen, I'm also, this is the mass formula. No, it turns out that the normal order and constant over here is minus 1/2. So again, Calvin is going to explain this number in more detail in the tutorial. So you have seen how to derive it for bosonic strings. Well, that's the result here for superstrings. So again, so in the tutorials. Okay, so we need the mass formula here to construct the spectrum. So there is the first state is the with the lowest mass four, it's 0 and s. So it's annihilated by all the positive modes here. Well, according to this, alpha prime n squared is equal to minus 1/2. Well, you're not lucky. We are going to have a pattern in the spectrum. No, but in this case, actually, the pattern is so bad that it's actually going to be worse than the pattern is there. So, okay, so we are going to solve two problems at the same time. So then we construct the first excited state, right? So what do we do? So we act with some increase.
Is it a B or not?
That's the question. That's going to be a B. Now the reason is that B actually raises the value by 1/2. Well, this would raise it by 1, so it's the first one that arises. Now, since it increases the value of mass square by 1/2, it's actually cancels this mass 1/2. So in this case, alpha prime, so n squared is equal to 0. Now, this object, so this is spin 0, this card makes I, it takes 8 values. So this is alpha square 8 vector. So this is SOA vector. Since we agreed that this would be a boson, so all it can be is a vector in eight dimensions. And it's masses. So actually let me first vector we would have, so according to the, so organized according to the values of m squared, we start with ground state, so m squared, let me get rid of the ground, minus 1/2, and the first excited state is the most distant. So that would be m squared is equal to 0. And then again, so we could construct all the excited levels infinitely. Okay. Let's talk about the Ramon sector. So if you change the boundary conditions, actually the line is not very easy now. It's going to replace an S by R. I'm going to replace the oscillators and change the ring constant. One advantage. There is no normal ordering constant here, it's equal to 0. Again, so A in the Navier-Stokes sector and A in the Ramon sector. So these three numbers will be discussed in the tutorials. So we have no normal ordering constant here. So the ground state, the one annihilated by all positive modes of B, it's like 1. So it's going to be massless. So from one sector, so the state annihilated by all positive modes. So that's going to be massless. And as we discussed, there is not, I mean, there's not just one ground state art like this, but this state has, so there are different states that are related by absolute D. So it carries an index related to this index A. So this is, again, it's a spinner of S of A. And so it's like saying, you talk about quantum mechanics, J is equal to 1/2, so angular momentum is equal to 1/2. And then you have two states in the multiplet or in the area of the super representation. One would correspond to m is equal to -1/2 and one to m is equal to +1/2. So this would be the two states. So this index, what it does is to count those the entries of the spinner. Good. So in the Raman sector, we immediately start, let me actually write it over here. We start directly with a state that is massless, like this. So M square is equal to 0. So here we have the spectrum. We have the first few terms. So several things are we see when we look at the spectrum like this, right? So first of all, on the left hand side we have the bosons in space time. Here we have the fermions. On the right hand side, the fermions in space time. Now the kachion is again there, so that's bad because it has n super negative. It's obvious, so it's like the bosonic spin. We are expanding about the wrong back, right, about the maximum instead of the minimum. But in this case, in the first question, it has an additional back property. Namely, if you look at the spectrum, there's one bosonic state that has mass for negative, there's not on the right. So if we say, we want to construct our string in such a way that the spectrum is space-time supersymmetric. So we have not discussed supersymmetry in much detail. Maybe tomorrow we'll get a bit more of a chance, but I'm sure you have already heard things like, well, if you have supersymmetry for each boolean, you have a pair, right? So you may have that much probably know about supersymmetry. Well, if there's a boson here with a certain mass, there's no pair. First grad sounds like cheating, namely to define a rule that simply says, well, you're going to keep some of the states, the other ones you're going to go. That's called DF of projection. And again, this is one of the disadvantages of this RNS formalism, that we construct the spectrum, we look at it, we don't like it, but we only get the state we want. So that's sort of one of the disadvantages. Now, there is a way to derive this GS of projection that I may be able to sketch, but I will not derive. Namely, that it's required by a modular invariant of the one partition function. Now, so this is called GS of projection again. So we derive the spectrum of the superstring. Some states we like, other states we don't like. And then one defines sometimes called key parity. And we are going to use this as a tool to say, well, this state in the spectrum we want to keep, but other ones we want to break out. So the key parity is defined in the following way. -1 to power f plus 1. So it has a different definition in the two sector. So it's -1, 2. Now this is the operator that comes the number of B's that are plus one from the MS sector. And so times this, that's max 1 to the x plus 1 is equal to this in the third sector, and is equal to this in the round sector, gamma 11. Okay. So that is, at this moment, this is a certain number that we are going to associate to the states in the spectrum. This over here counts the number of B's, right? So if the number of B's is even, so then this equality would be minus one, right? So it was, I mean, it's odd, but it would be plus one. Okay. So here's the rule. We construct the entire spectrum, and the rule is keep the states with DNS equal plus one. And now in the Ramon sector, we have allowed for a gamma 11 here. So gamma 11 is something like gamma 5 in
Question? So we were wondering what gamma 11 is.
So it's like gamma 5 in for the general operator, the product of all gammas. Okay. Now, so in the neural sector, this is simply a number that counts how many B's are acting on the ground state. And there are non-sector something similar, except that we allow this gamma 11, that is the chirality operator, so we want to be the product of all gamma, so we are in that space time, so I can simply say gamma 0, product, gamma, gamma 9. So the chirality operator. So in the Ramon sector, we can keep states with G is equal to plus 1, or GR is equal to minus 1, so this changes the chirality of the ground state. But it's not a big difference in this case if we only have one choice. But this is sort of the rule, and we can take it as a rule, we look at the spectrum, and we keep only the state that satisfies us. Again, at this moment it looks like a rule that we did set up in order to keep the states we like and throw away the ones we don't like, but it can be derived from consistency of the theory, and I will explain that maybe, I can sketch it in the next lecture. So, let's apply the rule. So, what happens to the pattern? To this one. Okay. That one? So this means that the Cartesian, so G acting on 0 and S is equal to minus, so it's projected out. Good, so the trick of the Cartesian, again, it looks as if we are doing this just by hand, but it has a motivation. The next step, on the other hand, we keep, right? So this means that B minus 1 half, so the SOA, so this over here is an SOA vector. So again, it's SOA because we're, this index I takes 8 values and it doesn't include time, so these are 8 or 3 dimensions. So this is why I call it an SOA vector. And this is an SOA spinner. So sometimes, people like to use the notation that they label this object with number 8, that says the dimension of the representation, and in this case it would have an index V for vector representation. And this object also has 8 states, and it would be, let's call it a spinor, simply labeled by 8. And 8 prime would be the object with the opposite chirality. Okay, so in this case, the 8V becomes brown spin. Ramon sector again. So over here we have 8 bosonic degrees of freedom, so the 8 components of a vector, right? So we have a vector that has the 8 components, so 8 degrees of freedom. And in the same way, this spinor over here has 8 components, so the value over here with 8. Now, so this means. The mass level m square is equal to 0. That would be, so if we assume that we have we are doing a superstring and we take the 2 sectors into account, so then we have a level m square is equal to 0. We have in the ground set we have our vector AP, so this is our boson with 8 degrees of freedom. And 8 that would be that we just pick up, or the other notation that we are just putting on this one. Now, so one of the properties, so this has 8 components here, the index R takes 8 values, and this has also 8 components. So one of the properties of supersymmetric theories is that at each mass level there are the same number of bosonic and fermionic degrees of freedom, and this is exactly what we have here. So same number. So this is the first indication that after doing this test of projection, we achieve 2 things. So first, we get rid of the tachyon, and second, at least at the massless level, we have a supersymmetric configuration. So our mass square is equal to 0. So this are we have the same number of bosonic and fermionic degrees of freedom. Again, it's a first indication, it's not true, right? Because there are more states. But one can actually show that that the spectrum is based on supersymmetric dispersion. All right, so maybe next time again, so on this page, while the GSO projection is actually not only a rule where we say, well, we keep this state enough, but it's required by consistency. And then we still have to sketch the spectrum of the flow spectrum, which is the
option. Any GR is at this kind of also. Does that depend on the representation of the
choose? Wait, so gamma 11 is going to be, so we are talking about with a definite chirality, so we cannot, now we have to get a little bit into detail for spinors. So it's going to be a binary Urana spinner, so this means well, it has a definite chirality under gamma 11. So the only thing we care about is about the eigenvalue under gamma 11. So how we write the gamma 11, so which numbers actually not have the eigenvalues. More questions?
Why are we putting together the voice sector and the NS sector?
Good question. That's a very good question. And I hope I will be able to answer it next time by showing you that if we only pick one sector, for example, we decide just to pick one type of funder, there's a fundamental inconsistency theory. Namely, if we would compute the partition function of one loop, it wouldn't be modular invariant. So there's a real inconsistency. And the theory is only consistent if we glue those sectors together. So if we just, gluing sectors together to me means that we assume we have sort of one string with one symmetry x and fermions psi, right? But so we have one action like this, psi satisfied in the first boundary conditions. But at the same time, we need to take an action with fields with Raman boundary conditions. So we have to take the spectrum of both fields at the same time. Because if we do a modular transformation, at one loop, they mix. So take only one loop, even in the
theory. What about closed strings? What about closed strings?
I did not have to.
But we don't require them as well.
Of course. So it was in my notes, but I didn't have time, so it's 12:33. So I will do this tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, what is this?